Welcome to Sacrilegious Discourse.
For this is what the Sovereign Lord says.
Why do you need prophets to tell people who you are and what you want?
If you can justify everything that the God of the Bible has done, then you can justify any of your behavior.
A lot of this mentality is trickling into what is now mainstream right-wing Christianity.
I am capable of empathy greater than this God of the Bible.
This is a Bible that they tell kids. This is the good Lord. This is the good book. He is fantasizing about murder, mass murder.
Head over to sacrilegiousdiscourse.com right now to find out how to leave us a review or support us on Patreon.
Husband!
Wife!
Do you know what we're doing today? I'm so excited about this one.
You told me, but here's the thing. Yeah, I know you're going to introduce this so much better than I ever could.
Because I'm so excited about it.
So go with it.
Gems and peens and gems and peens, peens and gems. We're going to talk about gymnasiums and penises.
Yes.
I'm so fucking excited about it.
Okay, look, guys, there is some relevance here.
There is. For one thing, it's about how gymnasiums were Greek, whereas circumcised penises were Hebrew.
Yes.
And you had to be naked in the Greek gym. And so that was causing problems because then you could, you know, see, shit, have your foreskin chopped. You're Jewish.
Right. And also what's going on right now in our world?
Well, the Olympics. So this is relevant on both a where we're at in our reading as well as in a real life timetable.
Right. Because it's similar activities.
Gyms and peens.
It's where some of this stuff spawned from somewhat.
Ring-a-ling-a-ding-dong. Watch it swing to and fro, unless you got it tied down, which sometimes they do. Okay, I'm so excited about this episode. Oh my God,
this is going to be so bad, guys.
Oh, it's going to be awful. I love it. Ready?
You ready to do this?
Yup.
Let's do it.
Okie dokie. All right, so this episode is about gymnasiums.
Okay? Yeah.
And because it's about gymnasiums, penises will happen. Okay?
As so, we all know, you know, that's what happens at gymnasiums.
As you know, husband. When we talk about gymnasiums, we have to talk about the penis.
Obviously.
So here's the thing. Gymnasiums don't show up in the Old Testament. They are like indirectly kind of referenced, but they do show up in the Macadoodles,
which is in the Catholic Bible.
Right.
And, you know, it's in some Bibles. It's
right.
Not, you know, the Protestant Bibles.
Right. Right. Exactly. So when we talk about gymnasiums, though, sometimes I would explain how that was a problem for Jewish people because the Greeks did their gymnasiums naked, and you would kind of give me a look like, what the fuck are you even fucking talking about, you freak? And so it reminded me.
I don't think it was that harsh, but.
Well, I mean, I'm a little sensitive, so I probably read a whole hell of a lot more into it.
Right.
But like a couple times you did look at me like, are you sure you know what you're talking about? And like, it reminded me that, okay, this is the perfect time to actually be talking about gymnasiums and the Olympics.
Honestly, my look about that was more about the fact that sometimes you just like to like extrapolate information and out of the blue, and then sure. I have to call you on it. And if I don't know the information, then I can't call you on it.
Right.
So I'm like, are you sure you did your research on that? Because I don't know anything about gyms and dicks.
Right. You and know? So, like, but that so, it reminded me that, I mean, like, you know, I
don't know anything about ancient gyms and dicks.
You know about gyms.
I know about gyms
and
dicks.
And you know about dicks.
Yeah.
But you don't know about the whole Greek and Hebrew gym and dick sitch.
Yeah.
So let's talk about it.
Yeah.
Okay. So it becomes a very important part of where we are in our reading, the Macadoodles.
Yeah.
The space between the Old and New Testament of the Bible. Okay.
Right.
That whole thing, like gymnasiums, is actually a large part of the contributing friction that gives rise to the Maccabean rebellion.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Because their presence, the gymnasium presence, it's a huge, major cultural and religious situation. Okay. So gymnasiums were Greek, not Hebrew. Okay.
Okay.
So we're in this time period when we're reading where the Greeks are moving in, right? Like the Seleucid Empire is like, you know, coming together and splitting up, right?
Sure.
We've got Epiphanes, the OG villain.
Right?
Yeah. And he's like taken over, yeah. Right? And he's like everything Greek. And they're like, I don't know about all that. And he's like, no, absolutely, fuck you if you're Jewish. And everybody's like, Jesus Christ, calm your tits, bro.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, I'm sorry, did you Jewish at me? Fuck you and die.
Right.
Right? And he's like so mean to all the Jewish people.
Sure.
Okay? Because he's the OG villain.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, so, but let's get away from that for a second. Let's talk about the gymnasium itself, right? It was a Greek institution where it wasn't just like, hey, I'm going to the gym for like leg days. Okay. It wasn't like that. It wasn't just for exercise. It was like an actual like cultural social center, like a rec center almost. Like,
yeah.
It was, you would go there and you would get education and identity. You would like meet there regularly. And you would not just learn athletics, but you would also take classes in philosophy, literature, and social customs. Okay. So, like, it was almost like a school. Like, the gymnasium was like this whole well-rounded thing.
A social center.
Social center. Right, yeah. And the athletics were always done naked, not because of, like, a sexual preference or anything. Like, they weren't. Like, it was just normal because the Greeks viewed the body as civilized. Like, we all control our bodies.
Yeah.
And so we're here to learn how to control our bodies even better.
Right.
And so part of that is learning language. Part of that is learning athletics.
Sure.
And they just viewed it as very, like, natural.
Well, and I mean, there was a lot of learning about what it is to be human back then too, mm-hmm. right? We're talking mm-hmm. about ancient humans.
That's why I said philosophy.
And so like some of this is just understanding how the body moves and works and, mm-hmm. you know.
A very artistic take on it.
Right.
Yeah. The word gymnos comes from the word naked. Like it literally, like I'm going to the gym, I'm going to the naked. Like, of course you are, right? Yeah. It was deeply tied to Greek religion and culture, and like everything about it was exactly opposite of Jewish culture because they viewed nudity as like in a philosophical or an artistic or in a human, you know, way.
Yeah.
Right. Like very positive. And, you know, Jewish people, like they were like, no, you need to hide that shit. You need to cover that shit. It's very shameful.
Mm-hmm.
Like showing your shit is not okay. That's for you and God and maybe your spouse, but she sure as fuck shouldn't enjoy it.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing.
It's in their book, right? Like as soon as they found out about things, they had to cover themselves up.
So. That like the first thing. Yeah.
Right.
They were like embarrassed and ashamed of their nudity. Right. Yeah. So.
Well, given that we're such a Christian culture, I find it odd that gymnasiums and gyms are such a large part of our culture still, right?
Bro culture.
Because it's, you know, it is we took it from obviously Greece, you know, and so it made the through line. Well, and I suppose Greece ended up becoming a large part of what it is to be
Greece,
Christian too,
baby.
So, I mean, that does make some sense as well.
But it's all a mash.
It's just interesting where it started, I guess.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So the Jews built a gymnasium in Jerusalem.
Oh, the Jews built the gymnasium. Okay.
In Jerusalem.
Okay. All right.
Because they were emulating the Greeks because, you know, the culture was going back and forth, like the exchange of ideas and cool stuff, right? And they were like, that seems cool.
Sure.
But also because it was being forced on them.
I was just about to ask, is that something that was like, because Antiochus Epiphanes was forcing Greek culture onto them. So I wondered if that was something that was forced.
It was a bit of both.
Got it.
Okay. Definitely a bit of both. This happened during the period of Greek control, right after Alexander the Great's empire split.
Okay.
So this was like right before Antiochus was like, you know what? Fuck all you guys. So this was still during the exchange of ideas.
Got it.
Voluntarily somewhat.
Okay.
Okay.
But there was still more of a, there was more pressure than there was before with Alexander the Great.
Correct.
Got it.
Correct. In 1 Maccabees, in chapter 1, it says that Jewish leaders built a gymnasium in Jerusalem, and those people were trying to become more Greek, and they even attempted to hide their circumcisions to fit in. We're going to talk about that.
Okay.
Because that's some crazy shit right there.
Well, they just tape like skin.
We're going to talk about
okay.
it.
Okay.
We got to build up to it because sure. I was like, what? Okay, so we'll get there. Okay, now when they built the gym, they were like, you guys, we built this thing called a gymnasium and we're gonna be naked in it.
Yeah. Okay,
this was seen as super shocking and shameful by traditional Jews.
Sure.
They were like, I'm sorry, we're gonna what now? Because circumcision was the physical sign of the covenant with God,
yeah.
you know, from Genesis, right?
Sure.
And in the gymnasium, naked athletics made the circumcision visible, which means that it was quite obvious who's Jew and who's not.
Sure.
Okay. And there were Greeks running around town with these Jews in Jerusalem.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
So when some of the Greek Jews were like, hey, let's build a gymnasium. That sounds cool because, you know, it's the Greek thing to do and Greek is awesome, right?
Sure.
We love Greece.
Yeah.
Don't we? Everything's Greece. Look at all the things Greece does.
Right, right.
Right?
Yeah.
They're like, let's do a gymnasium. And so they built it. And then the local Jews were like, hang on, what? I'm sorry, naked? Like, but then not only are you going to see me, which is shameful enough, but then, like, I'm going to stick out like a sore dick.
You know? Right.
Like, that's not cool.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
And some Jews literally underwent very painful procedures to disguise their dicks as not circumcised.
Huh.
Okay? They were trying to fake assimilation.
I don't even want to like... Okay, look. If you say painful procedure in today's day and age, I'm thinking, yeah, but you're going to get some like painkillers. You're going to get something, some numbing agents, you know, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't imagine that any of that happened back then. And the area that you have to adjust is not something that I really like imagining at all.
Anyway, so gymnasiums symbolized the abandoning of God's covenant, of their covenant with God.
Yeah.
Because God's like, hey, I'm going to take total care of you. This is a thing that's going to happen. And y'all are going to chop your dicks and it's going to be great. Okay.
Right.
You're going to be Jewish people and follow all of these rules. Don't eat shellfish and whatever. And, you know, have all these fucking laws that you follow. Part of which is, chop off your foreskin.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome.
Okay.
So to faithful Jews, the gymnasium represented a rejection of Jewish identity straight up. Like you are deciding that you don't want to be Jewish anymore.
Okay.
Not just that you want to fit in with them.
Couldn't you just be proud of the fact that you have a circumcised dick and then just be like, you know what? Fine, let's do this. I got a circumcised dick.
No, because their religion was wrapped up in it.
Oh, okay. And the shame of being naked in the first place, basically.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And also because it was embracing pagan culture in their view.
Yeah.
It was like, you know, it's like the kids, their kids were like, come on, let's go to the gymnasium and be Greek with each other. And we're going to go learn all the cool things. Oh, mom, look, all the boys still have their foreskin. I don't. Right. And so there was all that. And
sure.
They're like, I want to not have foreskin or I want to put my foreskin back on. And the parents are like, absolutely fucking not. Don't be pagan.
Right.
And they're like, but I want to. But if they were doing that, they were choosing Greek values over Yahweh's laws.
Got it. It
wasn't just about exercise. It was about loyalty and identity to God.
Got it.
Okay. So this led directly to the Maccabean Revolt.
Okay.
When Antiochus Epiphanes pushed aggressive cultural assimilation, he banned Jewish practices, he defiled the temple, he forced pagan worship, and he was like, y'all, I don't know if you remember, like, there was a bit where he said, y'all gonna get your asses into that fucking gymnasium, and right. you're gonna Greece.
Yeah.
And they were like, but we don't do that.
Yeah, no, that's crazy.
Yeah. And the gymnasium was part of that broader push. And that's why I was saying at the time, like, what's the big deal? And then I was like, oh, because they did it naked and because, like, it was a bigger deal than just go to the gym.
Right.
It was because of, it was specifically because of their circumcision would make them stick out.
Huh.
So, yeah, that totally triggered the revolt. So.
And there was a lot of talk about, like, the true Jewish people and the, like, there was a lot of, especially in the first book that we read,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, they definitely distinguish between the good and the bad Jewish people.
Like, how right? Jew are you kind right. of thing. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And there was a lot of anger at the ones that were conforming to...
Assimilating.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was, yeah, it made it really rough, but it also explains better to me. Like, remember, we had a hard time understanding, like, I thought if you were Jewish, you were just Jewish. What?
Yeah.
Like, why were the Maccabees hiding? And who were the... There were Jewish people going along and Jewish people not. Like, in my mind, they were all one people. But they weren't. It was Jew against Jew because of all of this other stuff happening.
Sure.
And
sure.
the gymnasium was the biggest, like, symbol of that.
Right.
I don't think that is really pointed out enough that, yeah. like, whoa, that's a big deal. So even though gymnasiums aren't in the main Old Testament narrative, they definitely explain the cultural crisis that shaped later Judaism. And this period helps explain why the Jews were fiercely protective of their identity in the New Testament, because they were already going through all of this, like, will they, won't they go along to get along? Are they going to keep their circumcision? Are they going to keep circumcising? Are they not, like, where does this all go, right? Now, granted, we're not at the New Testament, so we're not experiencing that yet, but this is all leading up to that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. This is also why Greek culture was seen as very threatening, because even as it was more philosophical and more kind of like embracing the maths and the sciences, and we did that whole episode on Greece, baby.
Yeah.
And how it was like the golden age of Greece was all during this time period.
Sure.
It was awesome. But not for these people.
Right, because it goes against what they stood
everything.
For.
Everything. It went against everything they stood for.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it explains why groups like the Pharisees existed, which we haven't got to them yet, but that's going to be a thing.
Sure.
Okay. This is part of the background of what Jesus was seeing when we get to the New Testament.
Gotcha.
Okay.
And just as a side note, if you really want to not have a good rest of your day as far as what you're thinking about, go do a search for what they did to have these procedures
we
done.
Are gonna talk, oh, we're gonna talk about it.
Okay.
Don't I look just, it up I, yet.
I already looked it up because I was like, I want to see what this, because I didn't know if you were gonna get to that or not.
Want
to
see.
God,
no,
almighty,
no,
it's
no,
not
no.
good. It's not good.
It is not good.
Mm,
no, there's a whole vocabulary for it even.
No, it's mm-hmm. terrible.
Yeah, yeah.
Terrible.
I wondered what you were looking up over there.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should have just waited. So, apparently in the book of Daniel, which we did already read, there was a reference to this whole situation because the book of Daniel reflects resistance to the Greek cultural pressure.
Okay.
Like, we do, I do remember that they were like growing up there and not cool with everything that was going on.
Sure.
And like one of those examples is that Daniel and his friends refused to assimilate fully into Babylonian culture.
Yeah. And they got thrown into the fire and, mm-hmm. and all that shit.
And the lion's right? den. And,
well, that was separate, but yeah.
But no, that was one of those Daniel stories.
Yeah, it was one of the, but it wasn't the, but that wasn't him and his friends. Him and his friends was the fire. and they were dancing in the fire and all that naked. Shit. Whatever, yeah.
With their ding-dongs. So that whole situation with Daniel totally anticipates the later gymnasium conflict.
Okay.
All like, right. It's part of the greater story.
Yeah.
Yeah, so gymnasiums represented the Greek assimilation versus Jewish covenant identity. So it's like these two, not just culture clashes of should we go to the gym or shouldn't we?
Yeah.
It was so much bigger than that. And I just like wish I understood that at the time.
Right, right.
You know?
Well, no, and there's so much with regard to like historical context that we find out later sometimes that we're like, oh shit, we missed a big chunk of what that really meant because
we didn't know.
We didn't know.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of one of the things that I really enjoy about what we do mm-hmm. is that as we're going through this and learning more about everything, mm-hmm. it starts opening up all these other historical perspectives and all these other things that we didn't know about before that we're like, oh. And honestly, because of the cultural... how much this is ingrained into our culture. Like it's,
you can't know until you know.
Right. And it's really like when we watch certain things, I'm like, oh shit, I know that reference.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's really cool.
Yeah.
Like, cause now I know what they're talking about. And like, that was one of those things about like growing up that I never understood this whole part of people's lives that they all had this basis of knowledge that I didn't have. Mm-hmm. And now I'm starting to have some of that, you know,
yeah.
which is, I kind of enjoy having that cultural reference to be able to call up when I'm, you know, in the middle of something.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Okay, I get that. I get that. I understand.
Oh, I understood that yeah. reference.
I don't know that I need to know about, you know, remutilating a dick, but, you know, it's all in there.
Yeah. So I was curious, and like I said, we're going to get to the dick thing, okay?
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I want to lead up to it because... you know, you were right when you were like, holy shit, what? Like, that was my reaction. So, like, I'm trying to, like, ease into it, okay?
Sure.
So, before we get to the dick itself, okay?
Yeah. I gotta start with the balls, right?
No, actually, today we aren't discussing balls.
I was just joking, yeah.
But it's just fun to say.
Sure.
We're not discussing balls.
Right.
I mean, we can discuss balls another time if you like.
You know,
I'm always here.
This to is talk your about show. I'm just here for the ride. I'm just along for the ride.
Yep. I was curious, but why did they have to do it naked? Like, why? I mean, we kind of discussed because they were like super into the human body. Okay.
Okay.
But I needed more.
Yeah.
Okay. I was like, but I need to understand a little bit better.
Right.
It just sounds grody like, still.
Really? Why are you guys, you know,
why are you guys are you really wrestling naked?
Right,
come on. They considered it a natural, honorable, and morally superior form.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
It wasn't sexual.
Morally superior.
Morally superior.
Okay.
Because you were clean.
Sure.
You were at your cleanest. You had nothing hidden.
The pure human form.
Yeah.
And their idea of what God and humanity was about was much different than what...
Yes.
You know...
Yes.
The Jewish culture thought.
Exactly. So. It wasn't sexual in any way whatsoever. Like, I kept sure. being like, yeah, right.
Well, I mean, but if you look at a lot of really Greek wasn't. Art, it's very...
It's all nude.
Yeah, right.
Right. And it was all philosophical, aesthetic, and social.
Sure.
Okay. So, we already said that the word gymnasium comes from the word, the same word as naked.
Yeah.
Okay. So, it was like the defining feature.
Can you imagine the world that this would be if we grew up with Greek as the main religion? Like, if the Greek gods were the, you know, like, there would be such... I feel like we would have been much more scientifically advanced and we would have, like, you know, there's no going back and
we'd
redoing
still
things,
be weird, just weird,
in
smarter.
Different ways, but it would be different, right?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that would be a good show to, like, reimagine what our world would be like if Greece won out as opposed to, like, if Greek mythology won out as opposed to Christianity, right?
You know, Rome.
I'd
sign up for that show. Even with the nudity. I'm not opposed to nudity.
I feel like things might have ended up a little better. You know?
Maybe.
I mean, I could be wrong. It could have gone the other way, you know?
Who knows?
We could have already hit the singularity and we'd all been done for. But
see, there's that too. Yeah. There's how much sooner would we have got to AI or would we already have blown up the fucking planet?
You know?
Because they would have hit the sciences even earlier.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
So the Greeks, as we've already said, they celebrated, not just like we're interested in it, but celebrated the human body as an ideal. Okay. The human body, they believed, reflected harmony, balance, and excellence because a well-trained body, which they were, you know, hitting the gym regularly.
Yeah.
They never missed leg day, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they were always well-trained and that showed their discipline and their virtue and their self-control. And we're going to talk about that in a minute.
Okay.
Okay. The self-control specifically.
Sure.
But the fact that they were naked showed off all of the work that they had done to try to perfect their body. And it wasn't like my body is better than yours. It was my body is in its peak state.
Sure.
Like it wasn't shameful like, oh, womp womp, I'm shorter than you. I'm not as good. It was these human bodies are all different and they're all in their peak states.
Sure.
Like that was what they were looking at.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the comparison was a lot different.
Yeah.
There was less shame that way.
Sure.
Which is very cool. The concept was part of what they called arete.
Okay.
And it was the excellence of mind and body. And the two went hand in hand. Mind and body.
Okay.
Because remember, this place was also where they learned language and culture and philosophy. Like they went there to learn everything,
right.
Mind and body.
Sure.
Okay. And that you already pointed out is why Greek statues are nude. It totally wasn't meant to be pornography.
No, I
it
feel like just, they had a very, they had a, there was a very large amount of curiosity about the human form and about mm-hmm. science at that time, about, like you said, math, like there's a lot of things they were exploring with regard to what
human possibility and potential.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
I just love the idea of.
And I think that being naked was part of that whole culture that they were living the sciences, not just
exactly,
you know, not just exploring the sciences.
Yeah. You know? No, that's such a great way of saying it. Yeah. Athletics were also tied to their religions.
Yeah.
Because of their bodies.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, so events like the Olympic Games, which, you know,
right.
we're currently yeah. going through right now in Italy.
We are.
Mm-hmm, we are. They honored gods such as Zeus.
Sure.
So there was that aspect as well. Competing naked was seen as pure, honest, and respectful because, again, there's nothing to hide. It's all on display and it's all looking for the best possible way that things, it's kind of like how, I don't know. I love ice skating. So to me, that's where my mind goes for perfect examples.
Mm-hmm.
It's always looking for the perfect way to be able to do certain moves. Like for example, with ice skating, I can specifically remember this was like right after the Tonya Harding and Nancy Kerrigan years.
Yeah.
I can't remember this awesome, awesome skater. She was a black French girl, gorgeous skater. And she would always do a backflip and she would always get points deducted. But for her, she would look at that with disgust because she was in it for the art and perfection and the moving forward of the art and the skill.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It was about the just making it better. You know, how can I yeah. keep doing this and pushing it more? Well, over the years, other skaters have done that as well. But it was never considered a skill that they were allowed to do because the backflip, every jump that you do has to be one that you can land on one-footed.
So Surya Bonaly?
That sounds correct.
Okay. Thank you, Polly.
I don't doubt that that is who it is.
And just for the record, we are live on Discord tonight, so come join us next time on Discord.
And then you can answer my stupid questions too. But the jumps that are scored, you have to be able to land on them one-footed.
Sure.
And it was believed that the backflip wasn't one that you could land on one-footed. So not only could you get scored well on it, you would get negative because you did a jump and landed on both feet. Right?
Yeah.
So even though you did this awesome thing that's very difficult to do, you weren't following the rules, therefore.
Right?
Yeah. And she, like, held that in just such disdain. And so she's like, fuck you, I'll do my own thing anyway. Right?
Yeah.
And I can specifically remember this situation because I think she got, like, silver during that time period.
Okay.
And she just was, like, so, like, full of disgust for silver, right? And I remember I was in agreement with my parents at the time going, ugh, how could you be at the Olympics and like scoffing at getting silver? Like,
sure.
What the fuck is wrong with you?
Right.
I have to wonder now looking back if there was a little bit of racism in that. Like my parents looking at that and being dissatisfied with her dissatisfaction. I don't know that that's the case. I just have to wonder. Because now when I understanding the situation better, I understand she wasn't scoffing at the silver. She was scoffing at the entire organization not wanting to push the art form forward.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
I get that, but I don't know that like...
Well, because she did that over the years, several other skaters have proceeded to
There you go.
Push the boundaries.
Okay.
And this year, finally,
so it paid off.
And somebody,
in the long run.
You see, you started to be like, oh, you got to follow the rules.
Well, yeah, no,
But the whole point of the fucking Olympics is about the perfection and pushing the boundaries of what the human body can do.
Right.
She understood that intrinsically. She understood the philosophy of it.
Right.
And the people in charge of running it and scoring it, they get caught up in the
technicalities.
Yeah.
Right.
And they forget what the Olympics are about.
Yeah.
Where they came from. So sorry, that was a little off topic, but it's Olympics. So
yeah, we haven't talked about penises in like five minutes.
No, I was talking about a gorgeous girl doing a fantastic fucking backflip,
right.
And I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. And I love that the first person who did it was a dude, if I'm not mistaken, that wasn't American. And I'm like, fuck yeah. and he landed on one foot.
Hmm.
So, yeah, it can be done.
Right.
Not easily.
Right.
Okay. Anyway. All right. So they were honoring the gods by doing the Olympic thing.
Sure.
And trying to push their bodies to their utmost.
Yeah.
Much like the skaters.
Right.
Okay, so it was pure, it was honest, it was respectful, there were no hidden advantages, nothing concealed. It was all out there in the open, it's all about the human body.
Yeah.
Okay, and obviously because they were naked, this prevented cheating, because without clothing, athletes couldn't hide weights, they couldn't conceal weapons, they couldn't gain unfair advantages. I mean, everything was visible.
Yeah, everyone's equal, everyone is, the same.
Yeah, exactly. Transparent, literally.
Yeah.
Yeah. This created equality among the citizens. So, in theory, the nudity erased visible markers of wealth, status, and class, and everyone just looked the same.
Yeah.
Okay? All just bodies.
No, and it's an interesting concept as far as humanity is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that intrinsic equality.
Let's keep in mind, though, this was just the dudes.
Okay, but still.
It was an advancement.
We're talking thousands of years ago, right? Even at that, we're still talking about an idea that is hard-pressed to be equaled today.
Okay, yes, but let's talk about attempts to remove appearances of classism. One way to do that in schools, for example, is to go with school uniforms, right? So everybody wears the same school uniform, right?
Right.
And we don't like that necessarily, because then it defeats individualism, right? Sure. But on the bright side, it removes classism, except does it though? Because then we've got the girls will wear their diamond earrings and their flashy
hairdos and
their hairdos and their nails and their jewelry and their shoes and their bags.
Right.
And so think about that, because we're going to get to accoutrement of the men who are in their nudity.
Got it.
Okay.
So they still find ways to bring class. Okay.
Of course they do.
Of course.
Because you can't get rid of showing off your shit.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
You just can't.
It'd be really nice if we could, though, wouldn't it? If we just could all be human beings together on this planet and just, like, exist as...
If everybody would follow the spirit of the law and remember why we're doing this. But they don't. They don't follow the spirit. They don't remember the spirit.
Sure.
They want to... You know,
show off
and be the best and be the richest and be the bravest or whatever.
Right.
Yeah. So this whole thing reinforced Greek identity. Okay. They saw the nudity as civilized, and therefore they saw the non-Greeks as barbaric. They were uncultured because
see uncircumcised heathens over there. Worshiping their Yahweh and
showing off their dickheads.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's actually, we're going to get.
How profane.
But actually, to them, it actually really was on a very mental level.
Right.
We'll get to that in just a second.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
When your dickhead is covered, you are very civilized. You are.
Well, but it's because
that's your body.
It's much like any other culture. This is the culture that they were used to, right? It's a weird scenario for me to imagine where people are used to seeing circumcised dicks just all the time. And like, it's weird if you like the fact that there's an oddity to seeing a different dick.
To seeing to dicks me at is all.
Like, yeah, right. Yeah. Like, I'm like, when all. You're worried about the different types of dicks, I'm like, man, that's a whole different world than I live in.
Right? Like, not only am I seeing all the dicks, that's funny enough to me.
Sure, yeah.
But now I'm, like, judging whether or not I can see your dick head, though.
Right, yeah.
And that's the
judgment. Not the clothes
itself.
You walked in with. But no, your penis.
Yes.
That's what I'm judging you on.
Yeah. So, Jews found this very horrifying. could tell they might,
sure.
Right? Because in the Hebrew Bible, nakedness is usually associated with shame, vulnerability, humiliation, right?
Yeah,
and Christianity still views it that way to this day.
Absolutely.
And all the Abrahamic religions seem to still to this day.
I don't think that's a great aspect of what that religion brought to the world.
No, you know? It's not. It's so. Not. The Greeks definitely had this part right, I think.
Better.
Yeah. Comparatively speaking. So when we had the gymnasium, they were rejecting Jewish modesty norms. They were exposing their circumcision. They were symbolically embracing Greek identity. And it wasn't just about the exercise.
Yeah.
Here's a bonus detail that I found a little surprising, too. It wasn't just the people that were competing that were in the nude.
Yeah.
The spectators.
Oh.
Were also usually either naked or very minimally clothed.
Interesting.
Right?
Yeah.
The nudity was not scandalous. It was just part of the thing.
I mean,
makes sense.
From the images I've seen of Greek culture in general, they didn't give togas, you know, like, or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't wear a whole lot.
Right.
Didn't seem like they were very. Seemed like, from what I generally, this is a generalization,
right?
Or from what I generally understand about Greek culture, it was much more open with regard to sexuality and different things with regard to the human form. So,
yeah, I did, however, recently watch something in one of the classes that I'm watching about that time period, where I saw, but let's take a look at the togas for a second. They were like, very difficult. They were huge and difficult to wrap. And like the women's hairstyles, like all of their dressing could not be done by themselves. And that speaks to how dependent they were on slave culture.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean...
So they didn't have it all right.
No. And I feel like it's important... Like, I don't want to completely romanticize them and say that they had it all right. They clearly didn't, because what we're talking about right now is, A, it was the men doing this, not the women. So clearly the women were not equals. But that's okay, because the women had slaves help them dress every morning. They literally could not dress themselves. They literally could not, like, if you see the hairstyles even on art that has survived to this day, it was so intrinsically woven. Every day a slave had to get up and weave their hair and sew their hair and create those styles that took like hours to create, and that was just the norm before they could leave the house.
Right.
So, I mean, let's not completely romanticize Greece. I love so much about the Greek culture. I just never want to forget, though, that...
Well, and it's easy to romanticize a culture that we didn't end up having.
Right.
And we ended up with the Jewish / Christian culture that came from Israel, right? Mm-hmm. And so this is the culture we got stuck with. This is Western culture, right?
The grass is always going to be greener. You don't know.
Right. Yeah. No, we don't know. But but there are aspects of it.
Absolutely.
We're like, that could have been better. This is the way we should have done
parts of it. Absolutely. We should have done
humanity that way.
Absolutely were better.
And in our opinions,
the way they viewed the human body and the way that they had philosophy front and foremost, and I mean, their science and maths, we can't question that. There were so many things that, yes, they had right. They had better.
Right.
Okay. But as a whole, no.
But you know, I mean,
it's still one day.
We could have got to eugenics, or we could have got to anything, you know, any number of things could have made that a worse track for human history, too. Absolutely. So, like, you know, there's just so many things that could have gone wrong with that way, too. It's just, here we are.
Yeah, I only brought that up because, like, we were really starting to go oh my God, I fucking love Greece.
Right, yeah.
And I don't want to forget that. No, they were sexist and they had slaves.
Absolutely.
Just like all the rest.
And we don't know how that would have turned out.
Sure. So, let's continue on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
yeah. So, circumcision, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. It became such a huge conflict in gymnasiums because it was the single most visible, irreversible marker of Jewish identity. Like, gymnasium circumcision. That's what this episode is ultimately about, right? Like, gyms and dicks.
Yeah.
Because those were the two things that were like, oh, damn, and here we go. Okay?
Sure.
Like, that is absolutely what this was, what it all came down to. Gyms and dicks.
Yeah.
Okay. It couldn't be hidden. This is where it came to confrontation. Okay.
Yeah.
Circumcision was the core sign of the covenant. According to Genesis chapter 17, God commands Abraham that circumcision would be the permanent physical sign of belonging to capital H him. Okay.
Okay.
It wasn't just symbolic. Like, you couldn't just like go through the motions. You couldn't just like give it lip service, so to speak. You literally had to physically have your foreskin chopped off.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, you, there was no getting around it.
The scene that always comes to my mind is from Robin Hood Men in Tights, and Mel Brooks is like, just gonna snip the tip, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. God even says that an uncircumcised male is cut off from the covenant.
Okay.
So to speak.
Yeah.
This was not like opt out. Okay. This was not just like, you know, do you or don't you want to? It was identity at the very deepest, most physical, visceral level.
Right.
Okay. Now, remember when I said the Greeks saw circumcision as ugly and barbaric?
Yeah.
Here's why. They viewed the foreskin as part of the complete male body.
Okay.
Like, not just, you know, something that you take off and throw away.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
It's part of...
Because they appreciated the human form.
Yes.
That was a bastardization of
God's perfection.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
They saw it as mutilation, disfigurement, proof that someone was a foreigner. Like, just very obviously, like, ew, look at those weirdos.
Right.
Right? Ruining their bodies.
Our gods make us in this perfect image. We should, you know...
Respect
which is odd to me why...
Yeah.
You would think that
your body is your temple.
That whole thing doesn't make sense with me with regard to Yahweh and Judaism and Christianity.
Yeah. So. Because Christians are very much like, how dare you get a tattoo or pierce your ears or.
Yeah. Like, yeah. They're very concerned about it with regard to other things, but not that.
Right. So. And it depends. Sometimes they're very wishy-washy on when your body is a temple and when it's not.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
In a culture obsessed with bodily perfection, the circumcision was definitely a negative stigma. Okay?
Yeah.
So this made the Jewish people open to ridicule, exclusion, even loss of status. You couldn't have certain social statuses. You couldn't have certain jobs. Like, once we see your dick and we know who you are,
yeah,
it doesn't matter. You're done. You're out.
Got
you
it.
Know,
yeah.
This isn't like you could just be in the closet.
Sure.
This is like how, you know, people with the quote unquote wrong skin color, like, you cannot hide this. It's a fact of appearance.
Right.
Okay. You can't just pass as Greek.
Sure.
Even if you are Greek, you're Jewish Greek. So not okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is where we're going to get into some of those painful reversal procedures.
For the weak of stomach, you might not listen to the next however many minutes.
No shame if you like nope out on this part.
Yeah. Based on what I read already, this is not... Not great.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
ancient sources such as, meaning there are more than one source. This is not the only place where it's mentioned.
Sure.
Ancient sources such as 1 Maccabees describe Jews trying to, quote unquote, remove the marks of circumcision. Mm-hmm. And the procedure was called epispasm. Or epispasm.
Sure.
I think it's
epispasm. I like epispasm. Sounds great.
Right?
You know, yeah. Because I feel like I'd be having a spasm.
Yeah. It involved stretching the remaining skin of your penis to simulate a foreskin.
Yeah.
And they would do this to try to avoid shame, gain social acceptance, advance politically, or to be seen as fully Greek.
Okay. I actually saw that there was a couple of different...
Okay. I'm getting there.
All right. Yeah.
Let me get through mine, and then I'll show you mine, and then you can show me yours. So, some Jewish people believe we should modernize and join Greek culture. I mean, you know, they're pretty cool, man.
Right.
But then others obviously were like, that's a betrayal. Don't be dumb.
Right. Judas Maccabeus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mothers who circumcised their sons were executed under Greek rule.
Wait, so say that one more time.
When Antiochus Epiphanes came into rule, he was like, no, circumcision is outlawed.
Oh.
And that's why he opened the gyms so that.
Oh, to check.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Damn.
And then after that, mothers who circumcised their sons were executed.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So this had become very political.
Okay? I see. Okay.
Yeah. Circumcision was no longer just a religion. It was a fucking resistance.
Got it. Okay.
And and I don't know how I would have gone on that. You know,
You're risking execution over it. That's crazy.
Right?
Yeah.
But if you think that ultimately you and your son's soul is at stake.
Sure.
You know?
No, I get it. I get it.
Yeah. So, hold on. I'm trying to find, I lost my space, my place here.
Okay.
Okay. So this early conflict shaped Christianity from the beginning.
Well, hold on. Are you still getting to
the... I am still going to get there. Right. Yeah, my notes are out of order because I'm an idiot.
Sorry, I just was like...
No, I know. I will get there.
All right.
Just my notes are out of order.
Got it.
So I will get to the dick.
Not stuff. That I really... I don't want... Yeah. Anyway.
You just want to not leave out the dick stuff.
Well, it seemed like you were talking about it, then you went away from it.
So. I know, because I'm like, where the fuck did my dick stuff go?
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a question I ask all the time.
Where's my dick stuff?
All the time, yeah.
You ask that of me, or do you ask that of yourself?
Right when I wake up.
Where's my dick stuff? Oh, my God. I cannot. Okay, listen. This conflict directly shaped early Christianity, okay? One of the biggest early Christian debates was, do Gentile converts, do they need circumcision?
Uh-huh.
Apparently, the Apostle Paul argues no. You know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John,
yeah,
Paul,
yeah.
All them right. guys?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So Paul says no. You don't need to circumcise.
Okay.
Because circumcision had become such a loaded cultural boundary marker. And that's why Christians, some are and some aren't, but it's like a personal health choice at this point. Not necessarily for Christians, not necessarily like a, you have to do it or else you're not a good Christian.
Got it.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's just like up to moms and dads.
Sure.
At their baby's birth. For many. It's still required for Jewish people, but I think that they wait until their son is like 13 or some shit like that. I don't know. I don't really know about all that. That's just crazy to me. I find it crazy that circumcision in the year of our Lord 2026 is still a thing.
Not my Lord,
but still. Okay, here we go. I wanted to know more about epispasm.
Okay. Yeah, so just to cover real quickly, the procedure that you described before was not the procedure called epispasm. That was called stretching or drawing.
Okay.
The one that you're about to describe is the epispasm.
Okay. What I saw in my notes is that epispasm literally means to draw over. The word epi means over. And speo is to pull.
Okay, well, they might have both been known that by that, but there's the one that I saw. There's a surgical procedure.
Yeah, there's two.
That's specifically described as epispasm.
Okay. So let me read mine and then you read yours.
No, you're okay? Good. I don't know that I need to read mine. I'll follow along and I'll add anything if I need to.
Okay. So epispasm was a real documented medical procedure.
Right.
And it was practiced by actual physicians in the Greco-Roman world.
Yeah.
Not just desperate improvisation in secret back rooms, like where women go to get abortions.
Right.
This was like... No, I'm going to go get, like, my belly button pierced, or I'm going to go get my laser eye surgery, or I'm going to go get my dick stretched. What?
Yeah.
These are just things you do, right?
Mm-hmm.
Although, secrecy and shame were definitely part of it for Jewish men, because, you know. Oh!
Yeah.
Okay. So, again, epispasm literally means to draw over, and so it literally means pulling the skin over. And the goal was to restore the appearance of a foreskin. It's not true regeneration. It's cosmetic reconstruction.
Yeah.
And it's explicitly described in ancient medical textbooks. And I will get to the other thing in a minute. Okay. There's a Roman medical writer named Aulus Cornelius Celsus from the 1st century AD, mm-hmm. who describes the procedure in his book De Medicina.
Okay.
And he explains step by step, which I know we all love,
mm-hmm.
how physicians could loosen the shaft skin surgically, stretch it forward, and secure it so that it's covered the glands.
Loosen... The skin is a very delicate way of putting slice it.
Yeah. Slice it away from...
They use a scalpel.
...your dick and pull it over the dick head.
Right.
Yeah. And this was a clinical, formal, medicinal thing that they did.
Yeah, good stuff.
It was not myth. It was not like stories or rumors. Like, this was actual surgical literature. Like, what? This is just what you do.
Right.
You just slice up your dick and move the skin around.
Yeah. It's
totally cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. There were two forms. There was a surgical and a non-surgical. Okay. The non-surgical epispasm was more common early on and involved attaching small weights to the skin and gradually stretching over months.
Okay.
And this was like similar in concept to ear gauging. So like, for those unaware, you can stretch the, like if you get your ear pierced, the way that people get like I didn't know this for the longest time. Like, how do they get those giant? You just
keep increasing the gauge.
Yeah, you just keep, the gauge is the size of the hole in your ear when you get your ear pierced. And like every so often, then you just get a bigger size piece, which is the gauge is the size of the hole. And so over time, that's how you increase the size of the hole in your ear. And so you can see people in other countries like Africa comes to mind just because that's like the most prominent example where they'll have the giant ear holes. So it's similar to that, except your dick.
Right.
The stretching that's happening over time is that you're pulling your dick skin down slowly over time to cover your dick head.
Yeah.
The tissue expansion used in modern reconstructive surgery emulates this as well, which I did not know. It was slow, but it was a lot safer than what came later, which was surgical epispasm. And that was a lot more extreme.
Yeah.
Celsus describes cutting the skin to free it. So pulling the skin away from the dick, pulling it forward, and allowing it to heal in the new position over the dick head. Mm-hmm. This was obviously very painful, very risky, very prone to infection. Mm-hmm. Because let us not forget, they didn't have antibiotics back then. Mm-hmm.
What did George die from? Dick surgery.
He was such a dickhead. Doctors performed it very openly in Greek and Roman society. It was just a thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's the key cultural difference. For Greeks and Romans, it wasn't shameful. It was just cosmetic correction.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, yeah, my stupid mom got me, you know, she circumcised me when I was a baby. I didn't have a choice. And I would like my dick skin back, please.
Yeah.
So they would like want to go get that fixed. So doctors offered epispasm the same way that modern doctors would offer scar revision or cosmetic surgery. It wasn't illegal. It wasn't shameful at all.
Yeah.
Although Jewish men likely sought this out very quietly.
You wouldn't want to. That's not something you want to. Yeah. You're trying to do it to save your social.
Well,
whatever.
A, you don't want your Greek compatriots to know that your dick is messed up in the first place. And B, you don't want your Jewish friends to know that you're trying to erase your Jewish identity.
Right.
So you're hiding it from both
everybody,
parties.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Yeah. And especially your mom, I imagine. So in Jewish communities, reversing circumcision was seen as apostasy because you're turning on God.
Yeah.
So it was a betrayal and a rejection of the covenant. And it was just not good. So there was also a non-surgical device called the kenodesme. And this was a string tied around the foreskin and fastened to the waist.
Yeah.
And Greek men used it to keep the foreskin pulled forward, to maintain the culturally preferred appearance. And Jewish men without foreskins couldn't do this.
Right.
And this is where we get the classism, because they would have fancy strings and ropes. And they would just be like swinging their dicks around. Like, look at my fancy rope tied around my dick skin. Wee! Don't you wish you had a fancy rope like mine? Tied around my dick skin. Wee!
Oh,
and they'd be swinging their dicks around with their dick skin.
Is that what was up. Happening?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
So they could just like dance their dick around happily, you know?
Right.
And here's why it mattered.
Okay.
Okay. Because the Jewish circumcision evolved to remove more tissue, making reversal much harder because of epispasm.
Okay.
Okay. So, like, the more that Jewish people tried to later on correct it by, like, you know, oh, my mom got me circumcised. I wish she hadn't because I want to be Greek so bad.
Yeah.
So then Jewish people would be like, okay, well, I guess we better like circumcise up higher.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Jesus.
So that's fun.
Is this episode about over? Because I don't know how much more this I can take.
Yeah. Okay. But here's the thing. The Greeks believed the ideal penis was small, controlled, and covered. And I was like, what is up with that? Like, why did guys care so much about their fucking dicks just like they do today?
I was going to say, like, how's that changed?
Right? Like, the whole deal where men are just enthralled with their penises, like, it baffles me. And it's just always been that way. Men are so weird.
Sure.
You know, they've just always just been like, my dick, look at my dick, see my dick, I have a dick, look what my dick does, I better touch my dick and make sure it's still there. Whew, I sure do have a dick. Okay. The dick for the Greeks was about like self-control and rationality. It was not about sexual dominance. Now, it like when they tied
except
up
for the strings tied to their
that wasn't about pen. Sex at all. It was not about sexual dominance. It was about classism, but it was also about showing that they were under control. They had self-control. They were not like prone to just like wild sexual like, whoa, I just got to go get some right now. It was like just an example of how in control of their body and mind, 100%. They were like the original incel, but without like the, no, they were not the incel because incel is involuntarily celibate.
Right.
They were the original NoFap group. Have you heard of the NoFap guys?
Yeah.
The NoFap gym bros believe that if you don't even masturbate like at all, that is how you reach peak perfection. Like,
who are you saying is like this? The Greeks?
The Greek guys.
Why do you think they were like that?
Because they were tying up the ends of their dicks to show off that they were in perfect control of their mind and body. That's what it was about.
Okay. I still don't know how you got there from there to NoFap. That's all.
Because they were walking around with their skin pulled over their dickhead.
Okay.
And tied up in their fancy rope around their waist to show specifically, I am a NoFap guy. I'm in control of my mind and my body. Sex does not even enter my brain. Look how in control of myself I am. Oh. It was very deliberate.
Okay.
Okay. It was not about virility. It was about self-control. The foreskin symbolized restraint and modesty, and that's why when they saw your dickhead, when they saw you be circumcised, they were like, you have a lack of control, you have excessive lust, you are just shameless, you are gross, like you should be like me, a NoFap guy. You're nothing but like an animal over there. Clearly I can see your dickhead. All you do is fuck. You must not have a brain. You're just an animal. That was like the way that they viewed that. So the foreskin physically covered the most sensitive part. And symbolically, that meant a man could control his impulses if his dick was tied up nice.
Got it.
Okay. So a covered glands meant a civilized man, and an exposed glands glands was an impulsive man.
Got it.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So they were the original NoFap crew. Okay.
Okay.
Also, when they saw these people walking around circumcised, they were like, you were probably stupid. You must be drunk. You're out of control. You're like a lot of their art would show people if they were circumcised, they would show them with really enlarged penises. Like to them, a small penis was modest and healthy. If your dickhead is exposed, you're an animal. So they would draw them with like large penises and often erect and just like very sexualized.
Right.
Like think of the satyr. That's the like fawn guy that was like lusty or like part of that whole Bacchus and Dionysus, like very sexualized creatures. That's part of what that is about.
Sure.
So to them, like the NoFap was just all brain, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you get circumcised, you're an animal in their mind.
Got it.
Because they,
I mean, it just, it's cultural differences.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just they're calling just, out that their culture is better than the other culture. And that's the way every culture's ever in the history of the world has operated.
They're just as interested in the dick, but from a completely different perspective. They're both looking at each other's dick going, oh my God, your dick.
Right. And it just so happened that at the time, Greek was the more dominant culture.
That's right. All. No, so, I mean,
that's why their prominence was winning out at that point in time.
So. Right. And well, and their math was better.
Sure.
I mean.
But that didn't, you know, keep them in power.
No.
Math only gets you so far.
Math only gets you so far, but it also helped when the Romans came and took over, and the Romans took their math.
Sure. Yeah.
And their gods.
Right. I mean, eventually we got to the moon, you know?
Yeah.
So, it's all good.
No, I know. I'm just saying. Like, but that's what that was all about. That's what the dick thing was all about.
Yeah.
They were like, dicks are gross, but only part of it.
Right. I got to say, if you made it this far in this episode, I'm really impressed.
So. I think you noped out like about 10 minutes ago because you were just like, what?
Well, I mean, we've been talking about chopping dicks for the last 10, 15 minutes. So,
well, yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
That's a bit much.
Yeah.
But hey, you know. Mm-hmm. Was that all you had?
That's all I had.
Great.
I mean, unless you want to talk about more dickheads.
I don't.
And
I'm good.
Penis swinging.
I'm done.
And
I'm ready
dongs
to go.
And ding dongs.
I am
Peters
so
and peens and weens.
With it.
No?
Nope.
No?
Thanks for joining us, everybody.
I didn't even talk about scrotums and balls.
Really appreciate you coming out.
Nut sacks and.
And we're going to be back next week. Well, hopefully we'll be back sooner than that. We've been. We're going to get back on a regular schedule soon, but
because winter is almost over.
Winter's almost over. Yeah.
The snow is melted.
Thanks for joining us, everybody.
Peace out.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, wife, I guess that's the end.
But husband, that's just sad.
It doesn't have to be. We are on lots of social media platforms like Twitter. Our handle there is sacrilegious_D.
For D's nuts.
Oh my God. Stop doing that. Anyway, we're also on Facebook, Instagram, and Pinterest. There's a link to all of our social media sites at our website.
Ooh, we have a website?
Yeah, it's sacrilegiousdiscourse.com, where you can also find a link to our merch shop.
We have a merch shop?
Yep. We have podcast-themed clothing, mugs, notebooks, and more, as well as an atheist and science-themed products.
Wow, our fans should really go check that out right now.
Definitely. They can get in touch with us by sending an email to sacrilegiousdiscourse@gmail.com. But before they do that, we could really use some help.
Oh yeah? With what?
Well, it's not free running the podcast, and we need some financial support in order to get better equipment, which will free up time so we can concentrate on our podcast and our fans.
Okay, so what should they do?
Head over to patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse and sign up as a contributor on our podcast. Supporters there receive additional bi-weekly episodes that we record just for our Patreon members for as little as $2 a month.
Also, we'd really appreciate it if you would like and subscribe on whatever platform you're using.
And Apple Podcast reviews help us out tremendously.
Like and subscribe. Leave an Apple review. Join us on Twitter. Support us on Patreon. That's a lot of instructions. Don't forget to say thanks.
Thanks.
Okay, bye.